The gospel lesson for this morning is John 4:7-11, and it reads on this wise. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" And here ends the reading of his word.
May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing
of his holy word. Good morning, First Congregational Church of Wauwatosa.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I know who you are. I know who you are, so let me tell you who I am. Some call me the Samaritan woman. Some call me the woman at the well. And some call me some things that I don't want to repeat. They call me that woman. I'm here at the request of your esteemed pastor, the Reverend Dr. Stephen Pay. Well, sort of, because actually he invited the Reverend Dr. Lottie Jones Hood, and she invited me. And you know, I've gotten to know her pretty well in the last 2 weeks since she decided she was going to bring me with her. And she got permission. She got permission from Stephen if it was okay, if I could come along, and he said it was okay. And as I said, I've gotten to know the Reverend Dr. Lottie Jones Hood pretty well in these last couple of weeks, even though there has been 2,000 years separation between us. And she told me about you. She was here not too long ago, in October, I think it was, and she told me about you, and she told me about her church, and she told me that at her church she's called Reverend Lottie, and that if she were there right now, she would be saying to them about looking out the window and seeing the sun shining. And you know what else she might be telling them about? She might be telling them about the fact that she had just been on an airplane. And she had just been on an airplane, and there's something just marvelous about being on an airplane and going up off of the ground. And when you go up off of the ground, no matter what is happening down there, and this is what happened to her just not too long ago, a couple days ago. It was so overcast, and she was down there, and she got into this plane, and the plane started up, and it was so overcast, and the plane went up and up and up and up through those clouds, and when she got above those clouds, the sun was shining, and the sun is always shining above those clouds. And if she were at home, she would be telling her congregation that that is what life is like. No matter what kind of clouds you may have in your life right now, whatever is going on in your life right now, no matter how many overcast things that you have in your life, that God is like that. That when you rise above those clouds, that God is still there, because God is good all the time. All the time. See, I told you. She told me about you. That she knows about you. She asked me to do that, so I did it. It's especially important to me as the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, as I'm called, sometimes to remember that God is good all the time. Because I have had some pretty bad times, I think. Reverend Lottie tells me that in her day, they call it, the kids call it being kicked to the curb. I've been kicked to the curb. Maybe some of you know about what that means, about what it means to be kicked into the curb. What do I mean about being kicked to the curb? Being kicked to the curb is like you've done everything that you know how to do, and yet it's never satisfying. You've done all that you can, You've done all that you can, and yet it's never satisfying, and you're just kicked to the curb. And this is what I mean. For one thing, in my life, I'm from Samaria. I'm a Samaritan. So where is Samaria? Samaria is that geographic location that is between Judea in the south and is between Galilee in the north. And some 700 or so years before in the northern kingdom, what had happened was that Assyria had taken over it. And in taking over it, a lot of our people had been taken away and others had been brought in to sort of keep the peace. And well, while they were keeping the peace, they got to know the people and the foreigners. It got to a point where nobody really knew who was coming to keep the peace and who was living there. There arose from mixed marriages a mixed race. Well, the Jews were not too happy about that. They did not like it at all. And so we in Samaria became the pariahs. We were that despised and mixed race. So that whenever there was a Jew and they talked about us, it was sort of like we'd been kicked to the curb. Just kicked to the curb. I was one of them, kicked to the curb. Then there was this other thing. I'm going to tell you about that later. It had to do with marriage, and I was just kicked to the curb there, too. Some of you, I said, may know what it's like to be kicked to the curb by your family, maybe. By your spouse, after all that you have done, by your children, by your parents, by your jobs, by your country, by your culture, you've gotten too old. Or you're just too young. And you don't know what to do. You don't know how to feel. You feel like you're just lost. And sometimes you just feel. That's how I feel most of the time. Like a motherless child, a long way from home. But a little while ago, not too long ago, something happened. And I want you to go back with me a little bit now. I want you to go back with me 2,000 years, and I'm going to share with you what happened. We are there now, and this incident happened just a little while ago. And let me tell you what it was like at that time. It was the sixth hour of the day. That's about noon to you. It was hot. It was as hot there as it is cold. Here. It was hot. And I had come to get some water. I had come with my jug to get some water. And as I approached the well, it was Jacob's well. And as I approached Jacob's well, and I lived in Sychar, as I approached Jacob's well, I saw this Jew there. I immediately began to feel a little uncomfortable. He was sitting there, and I've already told you why, because I'm a Samaritan, and he's a Jew, and he's a man. But I came anyway, because I had to get some water, and I could not come when it was cooler, because they would not allow me. I did not want to deal with all of those other women who were at the well. So I approached. And he looked at me and he asked me for a drink. I didn't know what to think, because this is not the kind of thing that happens to us. And then we had this conversation about living water. And I knew that there was living as in moving, and there was living, I think he was trying to say something like life-giving. Well, at first I thought that he meant living as in moving, like a spring. And he went on to tell me about it. And he was saying that when you have that kind of water that he was talking about, that it helped you, that it led you to eternal life. It took care of what was wrong at this time. So I wanted some of it. And so I asked him the question, from where do I get this living water? I wanted some. You can understand, I'd been kicked to the curb, and I wanted something that was going to take care of that. And so I asked him, but then he started talking about something else. So I asked him again, from where do I get this living water? And he kept on talking about something else. So I asked him again, from where do I get this living water? Finally, he saw that I was not understanding. So he changed the subject. But he brought up the subject, the ultimate kick to the curb subject for me. He said, go call your husband and come back. That for me was the ultimate kick to the curb question. My heart fell. I just didn't think I was going to be able to ever get any living water. Because I looked down sheepishly and I said, I have no husband. And he said, you are right. You have had 5 husbands. And the man that you are living with now is not your husband. I was so ashamed. I didn't know what to say. But perhaps not for the reason that you might be thinking. Reverend Lottie has helped me to understand that some things have changed in 2,000 years. That passage doesn't mean the same thing now that it meant then. In your country, in your time, women can divorce men. They can leave them, but not so in my time. Sort of like Iraq, I think, in the Muslim countries here in your day. There wasn't any such thing as divorcing. So what this meant was, I had been kicked to the curb by a man, not once,
Not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times I had been left. And the one that I was living with right now was not even my husband. He did not even want to marry me, but what could I do? What could I do? I could not go on and get a job. I had to depend on him. I had to depend on him. I felt such desolation and such shame then and now. There was shame, but it did not seem to be so with Jesus. From where do I get this water? And he went on. He became very patient, even more patient. And he continued to talk to me. And he finally said something about worshiping in spirit and in truth. And you know what? I think it was the spirit, the word spirit, that grabbed me. And finally, I got it. That there are two kinds of water. There is water for my body that would be in the jug that I would bring here. But hallelujah, I am more than body. I am spirit, I am soul, and the water that he was talking about was to fill my soul that gushed up from my innards and gave me everlasting life. And I said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. And he said, it is me. And you know, about that time, those disciples came back. I guess they were his disciples. They were kind of astonished when they looked at him. But they didn't say nothing, anything at all. But I could tell by the expressions on their faces that they had that kick to the curb expression. But you know what? I didn't care. I left my water jug and I ran into the city and shouted, come see a man. Come see a man who told me all about myself. Come see a man. And I told the people about it. Well, here we are today. Again, it's just been a little while since that happened. You look around and you can see that it's still the heat of the day. I'm still here. I still can't come in the cool of the day. You can see that I'm still alone. I'm still with that same man who won't marry me. It seems like the same old thing, but it isn't really. And the difference is that I know where to get the living water. I know where it is, that it is inside of me. And because of that, I know who I am and whose I am. I have met Jesus. And so when the world is telling me what I can do and what I cannot do, I can stand up and say, you don't know me and you don't know the God I serve. You don't know me. And when the world is just talking about me, I can just turn my head and not listen. And when the world turns its back on me, I can just keep on stepping. And when the world kicks me to the curb, I can rise again. And when the world kicks me to the curb and I cannot rise again, I can just stretch out my hand and say,
precious Lord, take my hand.
And as I leave you, I leave you with this song, so that when the world kicks you to the curb, that you will know that you too can sing this song. And I would like to ask if you would stand and turn to that page and let us sing. Eternal and ever-loving God, kind and gentle God, peaceful and powerful God, we come now, O Lord, thanking you for this opportunity to hear your word. We thank you, O Lord, that there is no place that we can go that you are not, and that you have provided for us living water that will give us eternal life. In the name of your darling son, Jesus, we pray. And the people said.
Amen.
And the people said.
Amen.
And the people said.